I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Dom Giordano program, welcome in. Big issues, big guests. Do you remember a world without C-SPAN and then multiple C-SPANs and all kinds of permutations of that? Well, when it launched in March of 1979, Brian Lamb, our guest, had just four employees, including himself. And the network aired on one channel, going into 3.5 million households, according to the Baltimore Sun. He's retiring after those 40 years with C-SPAN. I'm looking at a piece at Politics saying that C-SPAN founder retires. Lying is the word I would use to describe this town, meaning Washington. And just think of some of these people you've seen on the floor of the Senate or House bloviating before the C-SPAN cameras. Brian Lamb joins us with a brand new book, too. Noted historians rank America's best and worst chief executives, the presidents. Brian Lamb, Susan Swain, and C-SPAN. It's a really interesting read. Apparently, Washington, they maintained, didn't like to be touched. So he walked around the rooms, you know, big gatherings, and just nodded at people. You get the nod from George, that's big-time stuff. He's not touching you, though. No handshaking. Hey, Brian Lamb, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Dom. How are you?
Very, very well. So this is your takeaway from C-SPAN, the lying, huh?
Well, there's a lot of other things. That was just the lie that Kyle Peterson liked the most.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think that's a surprise to anybody.
What's your other takeaway from this, though? You know what I like? Michael Harrison is a friend, how he started to include you in various events with talkers over the years and the like. And the stuff that you've done, I'm not sure how many hundred with authors, the book notes thing, I really enjoy them. They are conversational but in-depth, and you've interviewed bunches of presidents and others.
Yeah, the takeaway that I have after 40 years of this is that it's very complicated, very complicated. And most people just surface this discussion about politics. And it doesn't mean that they're wrong. It just they don't have time. But If you really want to understand how it all comes together, you got to spend some time with it.
Well, without a doubt, let's talk about your president's book. You go to these historians and put this together. What's your thought? I've always ranked George Washington. He comes in second. Over Abraham Lincoln, I have Lincoln second. Why do the historians in the book put Lincoln ahead of Washington?
You never know quite why historians vote the way they do. Abraham Lincoln is way ahead by numbers as number one over George Washington. George Washington was, a master. And we have him to thank for an awful lot of things that we do as a government. I actually don't think it matters who's one or two or three. Those were great people that had a big impact. I suspect that Lincoln gets the nod overall because of what he did for slavery versus George Washington had slaves. And even though you judge him based on the time that he was in office, that hangs over us.
You think so? Well, that's interesting. We're in Philadelphia right now taking down the statue of Kate Smith. I would argue, though, that Washington, by his instincts, could have been a monarch, essentially, continued on, and by not doing that, and Brian, people that have researched him to what he did during the Revolutionary War, he was the glue that held all that together. Otherwise, this enterprise doesn't get off, and it's a tight race with Lincoln, who probably those two faced the most existential moments in our history.
I agree, and then you come forward, and the number three is FDR, and there's nobody that, in a much bigger world and a much more volatile world, nobody that had to deal with anything bigger than World War II. So a lot of these, I mean, I don't think rating them is as important as knowing about them.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular book we put together, we combined it with interviews over the last 30 years. With the every chapter is with a different author, and we take my questions out and create a narrative. Susan Swain, who's the co-editor with me on this, she did the major heavy lifting on making these chapters make some sense. I think you just there's so much to learn about all of them. Every one of them did something negative and something mm-hmm. positive. It just depends on who had the biggest impact at that time.
Give me one from some of these. Like, let's take, I am not a fan of LBJ, and he is ranked fairly high here, but I wanted to ask you, what's your takeaway from LBJ interviewing people on him? And I think I've read several of the books of his biographer, the principal biographer, but what is it I didn't know about LBJ that you found out that wasn't out there?
Well, I'm an old guy, and I had the unique experience of spending 2 years in the Johnson White House as a White House social aide. This is was not a heavy lifting policy.
Okay,
job.
Ever get called into the presidential bathroom?
The good news is no.
Yeah.
But standing next to him for 2 years, and I was able to do that because they had me standing in receiving lines telling the president who was coming through the receiving line, it just gave you an insight to him. Whether you liked what he did or not, he was a huge person, both physically and the way he treated other people. He was a very intimidating kind of a guy, especially for a guy my age who was 24 years old.
Oh, without a doubt, I think he is one of the most intimidating, either positive, you know, stroking you or getting in your face. God knows today the problems he'd have with being so tactile. Here's one I wanted to know because I never got to interview him, meet him later life, but people tell me that Richard Nixon might have been raw intelligence, it's often said, if we can catalog such a thing, the smartest president. What's the insight on Nixon?
I worked in his administration for 3.5 years in something called the Office of Telecommunications Policy. His instincts, I know when it came to communications, even though the people around him wanted to beat up on the television stations and the media, his instincts, though, were, and that's one of the reasons why I liked him at the time, was to drop regulation of communications, open it wide, and let a lot of let a thousand flowers bloom was what we used to say, and if you got to him directly, he had the right instincts as far as the way that a competitive environment in the United States would succeed. I don't know why he was a very strange man. I interviewed him after he was president. I did not work next mm-hmm. to him when I was in the administration. I was actually we were physically down the street a block, he was an awkward human.
Yes, and that's Brian Bryan, that would get some admiration from me because we know to be president, we can see how photogenic President Obama and others, masters of stuff, you mentioned LBJ, that this guy succeeded. And to think he had the ill luck the first time around, as awkward as he was and looking, to be against the guy that I think looked the best of any president in JFK, it's remarkable he ever became president.
It is, especially if you go back and look at his not terribly close relationship with President Eisenhower.
Yeah, to put it mildly. Now, Eisenhower, among the historians, I don't know if in later life or whatever you had the chance to interview Eisenhower?
Nope.
No.
Never did.
What other president that's in here, and do you have any other insight, Brian, on something you saw in them that we may not have seen?
Well, George W. Bush, in spite of where you come down on his politics, was probably the most down-to-earth person I've ever met in the presidency, the friendliest,
mm-hmm.
The most at ease with other people. I was even fortunate or not fortunate to get a nickname when I interviewed him.
Lammy? What did he call you?
Lamsky.
What the heck?
And it's an interesting experience when all of a sudden the President of the United States says, hey, Lamsky.
Right.
You know, I don't care if you're a journalist. It still is. It's very disarming.
It is. And it seems to me you still have kept that, you know, it's not old hat to be around these presidents when you're around. I was in the Oval Office in November with President Trump, and I interviewed President Bush when he was running. He wasn't president yet. It was like 2 months before the election. and I've been around one or two other circumstances sort of in their orbit, it still is, when you're around a president, an amazing situation.
I have to tell you one quick story. I was in the Oval Office once, and I don't mean to minimize that this is not important in the
right
course of human affairs, but I was standing next to him in the Oval Office, and there was a moment of silence, and I looked over to him, and I said, you look taller to me. And I knew him when he was governor. I said, you look taller. He says, and then he, with a wry smile on his face, he says, that's what happens when you get to be president.
Oh, that is a great line. That's exactly what happens. Hey, Brian, congratulations on what you've given us with C-SPAN. I love this book. There are a lot of things in here that I thought I knew, but it adds to, like, Washington not wanting to be touched and nodding at people. I love that story.
Thank you, Dom. It's good to talk to you. Take care of Philadelphia.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.